All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here on the final preview podcast of the season here. Season 7's been fantastic. Curry joins me as always.
What's going on, Dats?
Wow, what a doozy. We're coming off episode 6. Before we get to episode 7 preview, let's just put a bow on it here. What do we got for Goat and Woat? Who had the best and worst episode?
Goat and Woat, they go hand in hand. It was one of the biggest power shifts of the entire series.
Incredible.
Goat is the Night King. And the Woat is Viserion. We had over 1,000 votes for Goat, over 700 for Woat.
Love that interaction.
Just the Night King, that just absolute seed of
he threw a missile.
Yeah, it was a missile, and it nailed Viserion, and now Viserion is his. So that's crazy.
Exactly. Total power shift there, like you said. And, you know, a negative character like the Night King has got to do something so fantastic from their perspective to win Goat, as we've seen throughout the voting of the last two seasons. So we appreciate all the interaction. So now, looking forward, season finale, 6 episodes left after this. It's monumental. 81 minutes. What's the name of the episode, Curry?
Title of the episode is The Dragon and the Wolf.
Wow. And, you know, initially, where does your head go? And then a little deeper.
Well, just on the surface, the dragon and the wolf are the house sigils of House Targaryen and House Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had like several episodes throughout the series that have similar titles, you know, whether it's The Lion and the Rose or that's the one specific one I have off the top of my head, but they've done it 2 or 3 times where the title has just been sigils.
Sigils, yes.
But this episode specifically, the obvious one that jumps out at everyone, jumps off the page, yes, is Jon and Daenerys.
Absolutely. After that intimacy they showed.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly something brewing there.
Wow.
Some attraction, some
powerful.
Yeah, some chemistry. So Daenerys is obviously the dragon, Jon the wolf.
Yep.
But Jon is also the dragon, and that kind of is where the next layer of what the title implies,
absolutely,
comes in. So, you know, the first one that jumps out at everyone is Jon Daenerys. The second one, a little less obvious, is Rhaegar and Lyanna Stark. So
break that down for, you know,
Prince Rhaegar Targaryen. I think we'll probably, you know, like we saw at the end of last season where we had a huge flashback.
Mega
from Bran.
Flashback.
We'll probably be getting another one. You know, it's 80 minutes. That's a lot of screen time. A lot of screen time.
Yeah.
So a lot can happen. So I think we're going to have pretty substantial Bran episode, whether it's, you know, we haven't gotten much from Bran yet.
Yeah, just some creepiness.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we're going to get some Bran flashbacks, or, you know, his visions. I think he's going to see something.
And we'll get to that in the pictures as well.
He's going to see something big with Rhaegar Targaryen, Jon's father, who, you know,
we found out
had an annulment and married Lyanna Stark,
so
Jon's mother.
Not a bastard.
Jon is not a bastard. He was, you know, born in wedlock. So
exactly. So, you know, and we won't even jump to that. But where do we want to go to next?
We'll usually be going to some episode info, but as has been the case the past few weeks, there is none,
which is
good. I like that they're keeping it, you know, under wraps as best they can, because everything keeps getting leaked, which sucks.
What the fuck?
But no leaks so far yet this week. Fingers crossed. Knock on wood.
Exactly.
Got some wood right here. And so next, let's go to photos, as we usually do.
So tee it up for us. Yeah.
So, you know, every week on Wednesday, HBO releases...
we're recording right now on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Midweek.
So HBO releases photos every week on Wednesday. Just that tease a little bit of the upcoming episode, but they never reveal anything too major.
Nothing.
So, this week's photos, there were 14 of them.
They went mega.
Yeah, that was a lot. But again, they're not really revealing much of the plot other than what we already know from the trailer,
mm-hmm,
which is that there's going to be this huge negotiation of, you know, all the powers in this war for the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
So we see in the photos, everyone is present in King's Landing in this dragon pit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from the trailer, from the photos, we know it's a dragon pit. It's kind of in ruins.
Yes.
And that's just a bit of Westeros history there.
Yes.
That the dragon pit is where the Targaryens, they kept their dragons there.
Yes.
You know, the Targaryens, Aegon the Conqueror, when he conquered Westeros, he kept his dragons in this dragon pit. And through, you know, generations of his family, they kept their dragons there. But it is in ruins.
Obviously.
You know, hasn't been used. There hasn't been dragons around. So it's in ruins.
And maybe a little bit of a subtle knock there. You know, Cersei, we assume, is the one hosting. You know, she put this whole thing together as far as this meeting, time and place and all that, sending out the invites, sending out the evites to everyone. So maybe just a subtle knock there to Daenerys that, you know, this used to be your family's and now, you know, it's just ruins.
Yeah, yeah. So worth noting there. Making some statements there. So yeah, so the players that are present here at this meeting, this negotiation, what we can tell from the photos, everyone is bringing out all their big guns, wants to kind of make a statement.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first time that it's the first time Cersei's meeting Daenerys.
Yes.
It's the first time she's seeing Jon Snow in seasons since, you know, he was just a random bastard in Winterfell.
Exactly.
It's the first time Daenerys is returning to King's Landing. First time she's been in King's Landing since the entire series began. And first time she's met Cersei. So it's a big deal. Everyone's coming together for this.
It's huge.
So we see Cersei. She has Jaime by her side.
And I mean, you just also think of the implications. You know, Jaime Lannister, last time, you know, first time he ever saw Daenerys, just tried to kill her.
Yeah.
Like, you got that. You got, there's just so many, like the Hound and the Mountain.
Yeah, they're going to be in the same place.
You got Varys, the return of Varys.
Yeah,
the return of Tyrion. There's just so many, you know, showing off, like, the Mountain's new, you know, he's only been seen by not people present, relevant in King's Landing, so no one really knows what's good with this. Like, who the hell is this 8-foot-tall guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. You're going to see Brienne is coming down. She's in the trailer. She makes it down, as well as Podrick. Not that Podrick's relevant, but Brienne and Jaime. Brienne, and if Tormund's present, I don't know if we got a Tormund shot. He might have stayed back. But the Hound and Brienne. So there's just a lot of... For six plus seasons, it was everyone so far away from each other, and they're just doing kind of like their own thing. They're crossing paths rarely, and now it's all converged pretty much at this one meeting.
Yeah, and that's why like this episode is so huge. It's 80 minutes long, and there's not that many like stray plot lines to cover.
We're not going over to Braavos with Arya, or we're not doing, you know, we're not back in Essos with Daenerys. It's straight up.
Yeah, so, you know, the stray plot lines that it'll probably touch on, you know, obviously there's still people up in Winterfell, or, you know, that's
we'll get to that, big one.
Sam is kind of on his own, Sam and Gilly, they'll probably touch on that. One more.
We got White Walkers, we got the Wall.
Yeah, the White Walkers, I'm sure we haven't seen the last of them for this season. And
Bran's up there in Winterfell as well.
Bran will have his moments this episode. But for the most part, it's just going to be all the power players in King's Landing. So I'm very excited to see, you know, the breakdown of what happens here.
Got it. So you want to jump a little more detail on pictures or no?
Sure, yeah. So from what we can see, and you can see we tweeted these out, as we always do, on our Twitter account, at Right After GOT.
Absolutely.
So we see Cersei. She's looking just about as pregnant as she was last time, which... On the pregnancy scale isn't really that much. She's not like swollen or anything.
You wouldn't say it, yeah.
Like if I didn't know it,
there is a shot in there of her and Jaime that I wanted to note, where Jaime and her are little.
Yeah, they're in her map room.
Yeah,
and they're kind of. It seems like they're definitely arguing based on the body language. She's got her hands kind of apart.
Like,
and
what the hell?
Yeah, so. You know, I've been rooting for Jaime to turn on Cersei for seasons now.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the moment.
No, that's the kid. I don't think it's the moment at all.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be when something happens with this unborn child, but there's some tension between the two of them.
If I had to guess, it'd be pre-negotiation talk.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with this negotiation is... You know, who's going to try to pull a fast one?
If anyone.
Yeah. Who's going to set a trap? Because, you know, we're talking pre-show. The last time Cersei had all her enemies in one spot was last season finale, and she blew them all up.
Yeah, but she shows for this one. She didn't show up.
She's clearly present at this negotiation, so I don't think she's going to kind of suicide bomb everyone.
Yeah, obviously.
But it's just, you know... It's Cersei. It's in her track record. You can't put it past her to try something some sort
a
of
wild
power
card.
Yeah.
Exactly. Another wild card that's going to be present at this meeting, based on the trailer, and his fleet rolling up is Euron.
Yeah, so we don't see, you know, him physically, him in the trailer in the photos, but we know he's out there. We know
his fleet. We see his fleet pulling up to the shore.
So we know he's supporting Cersei. He's, you know, her muscle on the water.
Yeah,
and he's also a wild card for a number of reasons, but one is that he is, from what we know, he's totally out of the loop on this whole White Walker thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who Jon Snow is. He just knows that,
he wanted to give himself to Daenerys.
Yeah, he knows that Daenerys is out there, and that's all we really know.
We also know, we gleaned from pre-season, you know, commentary from the character actor himself. He did say pre-season that, and they only get the scripts for this season, so this is not looking forward. He was talking strictly on this season, is that his character will be a bigger villain than Ramsay Bolton. And has what he's done so far warrant that? No, I don't think so.
Absolutely not. I mean, this Ramsay Bolton was just at a whole other level. He surpassed Joffrey as the most hated, most evil, most sadistic. At this point, Euron isn't even close to Ramsay level. I mean, he had a good play in the one episode. He took out the fleet. He captured Yara.
He had some banter with Jaime and Cersei.
But yeah, but he's nowhere near Ramsay
level. He's like my, X factor. You know how, like, some of the sports games where it's like, who's a guy that's not, like, the main guy that could really change this game? It's Euron, no doubt.
Definitely.
He's just got nothing. Because he just doesn't... He plays a reckless abandonment. He doesn't really have, like, much to lose and, like, much to... It's like high risk, high reward, his actions.
Yeah, I mean, everything we've seen from him thus far, he's not... Doesn't seem to be, like, the most political guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's... And the Iron Islanders themselves aren't. You know, they kind of just... They take what they want. That's their thing.
Exactly.
So, I could easily see him trying to make a power play, either, you know, to help out Cersei, to get in her favor, or just because he wants to.
Yeah,
you know?
He feels a little bit out of the loop with this. Because the focus is going to be on Cersei, Jaime, Jon, Daenerys, Tyrion.
Yes.
That's going to be, like, the power five.
Absolutely.
And I think him being on the outside, he's not going to like that. And I think I just super easily see him just fucking this up a little bit. Putting a monkey wrench out there. So that's just a quick touch there. Where else do you want to go?
While we're on the subject of the Greyjoys, we do see two shots of Theon in the photos.
As well as a preview.
Pretty basic. There's nothing really too much to glean from the photos other than the fact that he is he's on the beach. And you see that in the photo, in the trailer too, where he kind of...
Yeah.
The trailer is where you really get something.
You see him twice in the trailer. You see him once coming over with, like, the whole crew. I think he's on the same ship as Varys and Tyrion. He's in the background, which seems normal. But then you get a little bit later in the preview, you get him almost, like, stumbling near a rowboat with some guys around him, going down to one knee, doing a little Tebow action on the beach.
And, from that, that's not... A stumble of, like, I'm injured, like, I'm hurt. That's a stumble, like, my heart is broken. Like,
emotional
blow. Yeah, that's some emotional stuff. So,
Yara's dead.
Early Death Watch preview here is that Yara goes down this episode.
To the hand of Euron, I totally see it. I think it makes sense. It's an expendable character. Can pull at Theon's heartstrings, who's, like, weirdly, like, we root for, but then also hate at the same time a little bit, as well as... is that wild card play with Euron. I think Yara is just smoked, no doubt, in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, she's
expendable
she's,
as can
she's,
be.
Yeah.
And, she's at the hand of a man.
She's got to go at some point. Why not? Yeah. Why not this episode?
Okay, absolutely. Go ahead.
So moving on from the Greyjoys, just let's talk a little bit about Winterfell and what we can gather from these photos. So up in Winterfell.
A lot of Sansa.
Yeah, so in the photos, we have two shots of Sansa, two shots of Bran.
Mm-hmm.
And in the trailer, there's just some shots of Sansa kind of like brooding, is the word that they use in Game of Thrones. So she's just kind of got the serious face looking out over Winterfell.
She's got a little hood on at some of them.
Yeah, so...
Hood up.
So Winterfell, we know that where we left off, we have a lot of tension.
Tension is fierce.
An incredible amount of tension between... Sansa and Arya.
And we have the masks explained to a certain extent by Arya to Sansa.
So yeah, the mask would explain. There's some threatening language.
But she gives her the dagger.
Yeah, yeah. She basically tells her, "Hey, you know, I can kill you if I want," and then just gives her the dagger. Like, Arya is
in full
off
psycho.
The rails. Yeah,
she's in full psycho mode.
And we left off with, you know, she's talking to Baelish about how crazy Arya is.
Littlefinger,
Baelish, yeah. Littlefinger says, "Well, you still got Lady Brienne at your side.
We got to utilize her."
And then the last thing we saw last episode from Winterfell was Sansa just very kind of angrily almost sending Brienne to...
Like overtly.
Yeah. Sends Brienne to King's Landing.
She drops like the, you better get out of here.
You better get going.
Winter's like a summer road, all that.
Yeah, so... And that's the biggest red flag in this whole Winterfell dynamic is that she could have sent a lot of people. She could have went herself.
Mm-hmm.
She sends Brienne, who Littlefinger had just told her,
"We need her.
You still have Lady Brienne. She can help you out if Arya, you know,
like
if Arya becomes a problem."
Then Littlefinger's like, "My advice is this. This is how I'm advising you." And she does the direct opposite.
Yeah. So, yeah, the red flag there is, you know, what we kind of think. I mean, this was, you kind of said this first. You want to take this away here?
I mean, my whole thought behind this here is just, you know, Sansa gleans this skill that Arya has. Arya talks about wanting to be like wanting to be a man, wanting to be a warrior, a leader, but couldn't do it. During that conversation, says she could be just like Sansa if she stabbed her. And then what you highlighted is the big thing is Baelish pretty much says my advice to you is we need Lady Brienne. We can use Lady Brienne to kind of keep Arya at bay. And her immediate reaction after, so went that, then it went masks, then it went Brienne's out of here. And I think, you know, what I think is going to happen, honestly, is the reason she went against what Baelish said is because, you know, her and Arya are ready to cut ties with Baelish. And, you know, and Baelish through Arya in her assassin mode, and then Arya would then become, would not then become, but would use the Littlefinger face to keep the Knights of the Vale in, you know, doing the normal thing, staying in Winterfell under her control, and she would just be almost masked as Baelish for X amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
And Lady,
of all the theories that you've kind of pushed on this podcast, that's like the best one that the one I've agreed with the most.
Yeah. And I think it works.
Other than Sansa's popping out that baby anytime soon. But.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know what happened. So, but yeah, I think that's definitely got some legs to it. You know, could see Arya, you know, just taking over.
I think Bran has to get involved in this a little bit because the interaction that they had earlier in the season where Bran said to Baelish, "The chaos is a ladder."
Yeah.
And that kind of was the first time we saw Baelish get a little shook.
Yeah, and the reason you would send a Lady Brienne away for this plan is because any sign of Arya gone missing, it's just red flags going crazy for Lady Brienne, whose whole life is we need to protect Arya and Sansa. If Arya goes missing, aka under Baelish's face, and Brienne's out of town, it's not a really big deal. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's in Bran's eyes, yeah, but I mean, anyone else, are they really going to be like, "Oh my God, where's little Arya Stark?"
Look. No, I don't think so. I think
that's why I just think Lady
Brienne.
At the same time,
I don't think she has to live the rest of her life as Baelish.
No.
You know, or she doesn't even have to spend too much time as Baelish. I think she can go back and forth if she has to. But I think, I think
there's just no real explanation besides that I can think of
as to why she would send Brienne
away. Why Sansa in such a like almost like a, for lack of a better word like bitchy way sent Brienne out of there immediately after the face conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's happening.
I think this is the episode I've had him on Death Watch a couple times. I think this is the episode Baelish finally goes down, and I'm hoping it is at the hand of the three Stark children up in Winterfell.
Would love it. So and that's the quote.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say.
Ahead.
Is that
go ahead.
In the season trailer, we hear Sansa saying, you know, the lone wolf dies, but the pack survives.
Like when winter comes or when the cold wind blows.
Yeah.
And so that's another adage there.
That too. Is one of the few things in the preseason trailer that we haven't seen yet during the season.
Maybe the one or two things we haven't seen. Yeah. So that quote's probably coming, if not, you know, the action that coincides with that quote, which I think would be, you know, the lone wolf talking about, you know, Bayless just trying to be a schemer and trying to be, you know, table for one type of guy. He's out of here. The pack of the Stark children up there, they survived.
And that's the thing is that the three of them, they were all lone wolves, and it wasn't great. I mean, Sansa was in King's Landing, and that was horrible. Then she was Ramsay, and that was horrible.
Yes.
Arya had her whole thing. I mean, she was in King's Landing, saw her dad die. Then she was going up with the brother. She went up and
Brotherhood Without Banner.
With the Brotherhood Without Banner. With the Hound. She had the whole thing with the Hound. And then she was the Faceless Men. You know, we have Bran was just wandering with the Jojen, Amira Reed, and Hodor. So, but anyway, so now they're all back together, and I think that
pack
now
that they are,
yeah, the pack survives. I think that's key here.
I like that a lot. I think that would be awesome, and I think it's super realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, and I totally agree with what you said, where it's not like four shoot episodes. Arya's, you know, oh, that's Baelish. Oh, Baelish is Arya. I think she can just, you know, for a small amount of time, yeah, wear the Baelish face for political reasons.
Now, I was going to say something, but then I thought and corrected myself. I was going to ask, do you think they'll show her killing Baelish, or do you think they'll just show that she is Baelish and she'll take the mask off
at
some
point?
I
think they'll show.
Yeah.
For the satisfaction of.
Yeah, because I was thinking back to Walder Frey, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's last season they showed her killing Walder Frey. This season they opened up with her being Walder Frey. It wasn't. So they did show the death first. So, yeah, they'll probably show Baelish death first. So let's just get to some questions here, a couple quick questions, and then
22
we'll,
minutes in right now.
Yeah, so let's tackle some questions here.
Go ahead.
Some are more deeper than others. So just right off the bat, one of the easy ones that we got on Twitter, we had a lot of questions on Twitter from our listeners this week.
Appreciate
one of the easy ones after last episode, people were concerned about Ghost. With the title of the episode, Dragon and Wolf, like, oh, where's Ghost at?
Ghost is fine.
He's not dead. To be honest,
yeah, some people ask if he's
dead. To be honest, I don't know if he's in Winterfell or with Jon, but wherever he is, he's fine. And we know that the CGI with the direwolves is very expensive. That's why they're not in every scene.
Yeah.
Especially this season, they've had the dragons. They had the zombie bear last episode. Like,
yeah,
there's been a lot of CGI. So I think they just kind of
it's cutting cost.
They
budgeting issues.
Yeah, they had to budget their ghost time this season. And
Ghost is not dead.
Yeah, Ghost is fine.
Someone asked. A few people asked that. We were just...
Another question that's pretty surface level. So what we tweeted out the title of the episode earlier this week, and we posted a GIF on there of Jon and Daenerys, and they kind of had like a look at each other. You know, one looks away. And... People were freaking out on like, what episode is this from? Like, when is this scene? And we're fairly certain that's just a mashup of two scenes like sliced together.
It's just a little graphic design
and
101.
Yeah, I mean, I just searched Jon Daenerys GIFs. I picked a good one, and people start freaking out. So
it's all good.
I that's not from an
go
episode.
Long call here.
All right, now let's go deeper here in this one.
Long call.
Yeah. So
I'm in agreement with you on this.
Okay. So a lot of people saw last episode.
Director of the episode is in agreement with you too.
A quick scene. Yeah, I did see that. A quick scene where when Jon rises out of like his icy death, or you know what should have been an icy death, he rises out and Longclaw is there on the shore, and he gets up, he gets out of the water.
The eye flash.
And if you look closely at Longclaw, when Jon's under the water, right before he rises up, the eyes of Longclaw are white. And then as soon as Jon resurfaces...
From the water,
the eyes, like, go back to being black. So...
People were freaking out
that this is Bran.
Some people thought that, yeah.
People were like, this is Bran. Like, Bran can warg into the handle because it's made of weirwood, and he's looking in on Jon.
We're out on that big time.
And I gotta say, yeah, we're totally out on that.
Insignificant Longclaw eye flash.
Yeah,
so you saw with the director.
The director said that he didn't notice it at all. He said they just filmed
the scene.
He said they filmed the scene. The fans are going crazy. I think it's honestly it's just like a In my opinion, I think it's just like a lighting trick. Like, I don't think they did
it on purpose. Not even a trick, just like it just happened.
I don't think they did it on purpose at all. I think, yeah, it's just
snow, water.
There's snow. Everything around them was white. And then John pops up and he affects the way that the light is hitting the long claws.
It's a non-issue.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's an issue.
It's a nothing burger.
Yeah. It's a whole heap of nothing here, guys.
25 minutes and we're rolling.
All right. We got that one. We got that one. Yeah, we'll go a little extended. It's a big episode. It's our last preview of the season. So, we talked about Arya and Sansa already. We think that they're going to be playing Littlefinger. All right, here's one that people have talked about a little bit. They talked about it earlier in the season, and now it's got some legs again a little bit. Varys. Do you think he is a mole for Cersei, for the Lannisters? And that's a question that was thought... It was thought earlier.
Even I think I asked the preseason.
Yeah, you asked the preseason. I just asked. Who's he serving? And then kind of when things started going bad for Daenerys and good for the Lannisters, people were like, oh, like, there must be a mole. Is it Lady Olenna? Is it Varys? Like, is it Tyrion?
It definitely wasn't Lady Olenna.
And so chances that Varys is a mole. Well, yeah, things have gone, like, shockingly bad for Daenerys and shockingly well for Cersei. You know, Jaime's been outplaying Tyrion in terms of military strategy. He, you know, let them take Casterly Rock while then they destroyed the fleet and he took Highgarden.
And Varys has been kind of hampering the
Daenerys. He's been trying to contain Daenerys and the dragons because he keeps saying. And, I mean, Tyrion says this, too, but, you know...
But he's all in on it. Yeah. She needs to learn how to listen, you know. Yeah.
Varys is telling Tyrion. He says, hey, you got to tell her to listen, that, you know, we can't just have her go in.
He's hampering? Is he tampering, though?
I'm not going to use either of those verbs, but... so, Varys... He doesn't want her to use the dragons on King's Landing. That's the trump card, and they would win. So
he walks into this dragon pit meeting, right? Alongside Tyrion. What are the chances he walks up to Cersei and says, like, listen, dragons would be bad for the realm. I'm working with Cersei. Zero chance, right? Some people think there's a legitimate chance.
No, 0% chance.
What percentage chance would you say Varys is the mole? Is a mole for King's Landing peeps?
Maybe like 5%.
I'm saying like 0%. I don't think it's in. I think he's all in.
Yeah.
He traveled all the way there. You know, I think he's all in.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, it wouldn't make any sense. Is it a coincidence that Jaime is so much better at being a military strategist than Tyrion? No, like that's what he does. That's been his life. Like, I don't think he needs someone tipping him off in order to do that. So, I don't. I'll agree with you. I'm going to say 0% chance. Let's put this to bed, Varys. Not a mole.
Hashtag not a mole.
Not a mole. All right. This is a big one. Actually, all right. We'll go with the smaller one first. We'll wrap up with the big one because I think that might be the last one. So, Clegane's. They're going to be in King's Landing together. We got the Hound was, you know, with Jon on the Suicide Squad mission. He's hauling that white back down to King's Landing. And we know the mountains down there with Cersei, as he has been for a while now. He's, you know, basically a zombie. We're not really sure. He doesn't speak.
He's a hoss.
But he's huge. He's got some intimidating, like, Darth Vader-looking armor. And I think that's probably, like, the most appropriate imagery there is probably Darth Vader. But Clegane's are going to be... They're going to have a reunion. And the big question here... Just, you know, what's gonna go down with the Clegane reunion is, are we gonna get Clegane Bowl either now or in the near future?
You're asking me. I think we're just might get some banter. I think we're getting banter this episode. Like, what the hell happened to him?
I don't know if we'll get. Yeah, all right. We're not gonna get any banter from the mountain. He hasn't said a word.
No, not from the mountain.
Not from the mountain. But yeah, I think the or Hound.
Like, I think we're getting. What I think we're getting is like, what the hell is that? And then, like, the Hound being like, that's like my piece of shit brother or something like that.
I think the Hound is going to realize. I don't think people are going to ask, like, what the hell is that? But I think they kind of know already, just because it's a mountain of man.
Yeah.
But I think the Hound is going to see him and just realize that something's not right with him, that he's more than a little bit off.
What the hell's going on?
And I
forward, they're not fighting this episode.
Yeah, they're not gonna fight this episode. There's just so much more going on, but maybe, you know, since they're finally both in the same place, maybe sometime next season. But I think that's just like on the list of priorities, that's so low.
So
like,
low.
Just the two brothers having a conflict that they've had their whole life, basically.
But yeah, unnecessary. Started in the first episode, though.
Started before the first episode.
We saw it. We saw it for the first time.
Yeah.
First
time. I think this is the last one, unless there's something else we want to get to. But so John and the squad captured a white, and they're bringing it down to King's Landing to prove that the Night King exists, that he's real.
And real quick, I mean, what has it been? So it's 7 episodes, so what, 7 weeks ago? I mean, like, if I told you 7 weeks ago that this season would be going, you know, finishing up with a meeting of the minds in a dragon pit in King's Landing after a quest to capture a weight or white, whatever you want to say, worked, but also cost him a dragon that is now an ice dragon, and they are trying to settle their differences for the time being and fight against all the White Walkers. What would your reaction have been?
I would have said no way. I mean,
it's insane.
I mean, I checked out our preview pod pretty recently just to see if we had any
preseason pod.
The preseason pod. I checked it out recently just to see what our awful takes were, what our good takes were. And I mean, I was pretty all in on the fact that this season would be King's Landing central.
Yeah, like, I mean, everyone was kind of.
Yeah, that they would be like, all right.
Except
for Vegas, yeah. I thought this season would kind of wrap up the King's Landing, the Iron Throne, conflict for the most part, and then kind of next season would focus on the White Walkers. Yeah. But it's been a mixture of both.
It's been a hodgepodge.
It's been a mixture of both, but based on last episode, like, the way it's trending now is more towards the White Walkers. So
yeah, everyone versus the White Walkers.
I also picked Cersei as a lead pipe lock to die for Death Watch.
Yes.
I'm holding on to that. We're still one episode and it's a long one.
A lot can happen.
If I were a betting man, I would probably hedge that bet.
Yes, absolutely. Cersei is most likely gonna make it.
All right. So back to this. So they're bringing this white down. They're bringing it past the wall. Does bringing the white past the wall affect the wall at all? And separate question, but connected, does the Night King, do the White Walkers bring down the wall this episode? And my thoughts, my initial reaction...
This episode.
My initial reaction to, you know, them bringing a white down is no.
It's irrelevant to the wall.
I don't think it... You know, they say, you know, the wall is magic, and that the White Walkers can't get through. That's why they don't approach it. But I think Bran has more to do with the
Bran bringing down the wall way more than this little skeleton guy.
Yeah, and as far as the White Walkers bringing down the wall this episode, I think that would be a hell of a way to end it. It's like, you know, the last shot of the season. So I could see that, but. I feel...
The thing is, like, we're so accustomed to saying, like, oh, like, this is not going to happen this episode. Like, that would be too fast. But then the season has just been pace. So would it surprise me if there's just, like, significant advancements in the White Walker plotline this episode? Like, no, it wouldn't.
And the one thing that people have been saying, there's been, like, some images on Twitter online... of, you know, how much John has traveled this season compared to how much the White Walkers traveled, because they barely traveled at all. But part of me thinks that maybe like that valley, that lake with the little mountain, the thing in the island in the middle, like we've seen that image before in Bran's vision. Like maybe that's like their home base. Like maybe John was playing right into their hand, and
that's why they were all rolled up real quick.
Yeah. So, you know, I think maybe that they were just kind of hanging out for a while, and now that they have an ice dragon, maybe they're ready to step towards
the roll.
Yeah, to go south.
And real brief point here: when Bran was working into those ravens that flew across the wall, when the Night King like looked at the ravens and the ravens all fell.
Yeah,
he was standing on the same spot that John and the boys
were
standing on.
It's a key spot for the White Walkers.
Yeah, so just a subtle nod there.
But to wrap up the question, I'm going to say that the season ends with the wall being intact. I could see it happening. It'd be a great finish, a great cliffhang.
Like the boys are
it'd
coming.
It'd be like a, you know, an exclamation point on the season. But I think there's just so much going on with the main guys down in King's Landing.
And Winterfell.
That I think they're gonna save the White Walkers for next season. So I hate saying that, but that's what I think.
Got it. All right. So there's. You know, we got to all the questions that we wanted to get to. Obviously, a lot came through. Didn't get to them all, but we appreciate everyone who tweeted in right after GOT on the Twitter sphere. Now, Curry, I'm just going to pop a few questions at you, rapid fire.
All right.
About the episode, just because it'll be cool to look back, and you know, we got some expert opinions here. So, let me think of where I want to start this off. All right, are we getting the flashback to the wedding? Or not even the wedding, but are we getting flashback from Bran?
100% getting a flashback. I don't know if it's necessarily the wedding, but I think
with Rhaegar and with Lyanna,
I think Rhaegar is making an appearance. Like physically, we've never seen Rhaegar,
never seen him.
And this is actually something I was thinking of. But
this is
this
is a bold prediction.
This is something that just hit me now. So, when we look for the episode info, the list under episode info is always like the actors in the episode.
Yeah,
and it's always the same guys, usually nothing huge comes from that. But there was one that I was looking at that it just listed the actor's name and it didn't list who he was. So I'm thinking maybe that's Rhaegar.
Oh.
So that would be cool. I forget what the actor's name is.
We'll tweet it out. We'll tweet it out.
We'll see.
Exactly. Let's tweet out that guy.
I should follow this guy on Twitter and Instagram and see if he's like giving any hints away. But
exactly. So you say we're seeing that this episode.
I think we see Rhaegar in the flesh in this flashback with Bran.
Now, the whole thing is this armistice or whatever, and, so armistice is like ceasefire.
They're pressing pause on this war,
they're not becoming allies.
Yeah, so the big thing here between Cersei and the rest of them is that Cersei, I think, is totally okay with an armistice, with a pause, with a temporary, with a ceasefire. But I don't think she wants anything to do with any sort of alliance with Jon and Daenerys
fighting the White Walkers.
Yeah, I think she's gonna say, you know what, you're from the North, and if you this is your issue, and if she wants to help, that's fine. But I'm gonna stay here and let you guys have your armies killed, and I'm gonna stay on the Iron Throne. You know, this is my kingdom, so I'm staying here. I think that's what she's gonna say.
We're not gonna bother you. Hands off. Go do your thing, and then if you want to try and come take it after that, let me know.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Does who, how many people and what group of people find out, if any, that a dragon died above the wall? North of the wall, I should say. Above the wall.
I think they're going to try to keep that under wraps as best they can. I think they don't want to show any sign of weakness to Cersei.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they were to say, if they were trying to make an appeal to Cersei, like, look, you don't know what we're messing with. They killed a dragon. Like, that doesn't make Cersei say, oh, wow, like, they killed a dragon. I should go help. That makes Cersei, like, lick her chops and say, good.
Let's
like,
go. Yeah.
Let them keep killing dragons. You
exactly.
Because she's not going to kill a dragon.
I love it. So, yeah, you think obviously they keep it close to vest. I mean, Tyrion's obviously going to know. The core four.
The main guys know, and I think,
Here's another question. So, if you look closely, obviously the wheel out on Drogon, but Rhaegal, he wheels out, and he just dips real quick. And when she's standing at that post where Jorah's like, the very tail end before Jon Snow rolls back up. He's like, it's ready to go. It's time for us to leave. She's like, wait. Then Jon Snow rolls up. But there's only one dragon flying around. You think there's any chance where, like, Rhaegal is just, like, not back in the fold immediately with this episode?
No, I don't think so.
You think it's just, he's just back? Like, it's not like, we can't find Rhaegal.
Yeah,
He got so scared when...
Well, that did happen with Drogon.
He went rogue.
Yeah, he went rogue.
He got a rogue.
He went rogue for a while, but
yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, just saw the brother die. They were obviously close. You know, they were locked up together when Drogon was going rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Just saw him die. Just got the wits scared out of him. Rhaegal, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, dude, we can't get a 411 on Rhaegal. He's north of the wall.
Nah, I mean, I think that goes back to like when she was in Essos and they just were throwing obstacle after obstacle at Daenerys to keep her away from King's Landing. I think as far as the story progression goes, that would kind of be a step back.
So he's just right back in the fold this week.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? So your take on the negotiations is how it's going to go down. Is just going to be Cersei's going to agree that I won't ceasefire, but you don't have my help. That's how you see it going now?
Yeah, I think that plays right into Cersei's character and, you know, her motivation. She's not motivated to save the world. She just wants the throne. So.
Yeah, she's just all defense.
Yeah.
And then just percentage chance that shit hits the fan during this negotiations.
Because
I just can't see it happening. I think we're getting like a snoozer.
That's the thing, is that from the trailers, from the photos, the only thing they're giving us is that this negotiation is happening, and it's an 80-minute episode. So like,
yes. So it's
has to be a lot happening, and all they've shown us is the negotiations. Does that mean it's like a lot of the negotiation, or does it mean I don't know? But as far as,
and you have the Euron wild card. That's the one thing that's storing my
Euron's a wild card, and we know Cersei's capable of anything. Chances that you say the shit hits the fan, that something goes wrong, I would say maybe, I don't want to say 50-50. That's kind of a cop out, but
you think 50-50?
I'm going to say like
40%
chance
shit goes
that
crazy.
Something goes wrong. I don't think it's going to be like, yeah, it's not going to be all fine and dandy that everyone just goes in and shakes hands. Like, I think something's
I think it's going to be a hard negotiation.
Yeah, something's going to happen. That
so you think it's like there's a legitimate 40% chance where like they don't come out of there with like a okay, like shaking hands, eye contact, and we'll talk to you in a season. Because I think there's a really good chance. I think it's like a 10% chance that shit gets crazy in the Dragon Pit.
Oh, it might not. I'm not saying necessarily in the Dragon Pit. But
between Cersei,
you know,
and
everyone's
Daenerys.
Got all their forces there. You know,
just muscle.
Someone,
just ready to,
yeah, I feel like someone might, you know, blink first and something could happen. So
okay.
We'll see.
Okay. This is so micro. We were talking about it beforehand, though. Sir, you think Daenerys rolls in the Dragon Pit, full on dragon, mounted dragon?
Yeah. This is so minor, but we were having like an active debate on this, and I think that just the presence of a dragon in itself is almost like too much of a threat to bring to a ceasefire negotiation.
Yeah.
So like, I think that she's definitely going to have the dragons there
at least
one, you know, probably both, just to
Rhaegal
show
could be lost above the wall,
just to show that she has them, that she has that muscle and that power, that control over the dragons. Because again, she's never met Cersei. She's never, you know, these people in King's Landing have never seen her or a dragon in mm-hmm. ever. So I think.
But you don't think she's rolling and landing? Because we haven't seen her in the preview with the crew.
I don't think she's going to land the dragon in the pit or even kind of like too
to
close. I think it's going to stay kind of on her side of enemy lines. Or no, it's not going to go into enemy lines, is what I should say.
I think she is. I think she's coming in. Grand entrance. I think she's heard so much bullshit about Cersei Lannister and how she's on the throne. And I think that that's just like, this is like her Super Bowl here. Then she wants to get the ceasefire, and her Super Bowl is actually going at the White Walkers, but I think she wants to show that muscle. I think she's flying in, strapped on. This would be like walking into like a free, a sports free agency meeting with the team with just like, you whip out a gun and put it on the table too.
Raise
the stakes super high.
If I were Tyrion, I would tell her not to. I feel like Tyrion is going to say, don't do that.
Varies the mole, definitely.
But I could also see her saying, you know what, Tyrion, your ideas are awful. So
you've been shit
this
season.
Yeah.
Just give me just real macro. What happens? What are we talking about on the recap pod? Reaction pod Sunday night. What do you think?
on the recap pod coming up Sunday night, Raft of Thrones, as always. the biggest things we're going to be talking about are Baelish's death.
Okay.
And, or, you know, whatever goes down in Winterfell.
Whatever goes down.
No, I think he's going to die, but I think, yeah, we're going to be talking about Sansa and Arya and how that all plays out. It's a cop out, but yeah, I think Littlefinger's gonna die, and we'll be discussing that. I think we'll be discussing Bran and his vision.
I think Bran is just gonna be huge.
I think it's gonna be a huge Bran episode, and you know what? He needs a huge episode because he's been shit this season. He's been creepy. He hasn't done anything. He's pissed off Mira Reed, and
it's like, dude, you know everything. Why do you let a dragon die, dude?
Yeah, like do something productive, dude. Like,
be better.
I wonder what he does when he's looking at those trees.
Like, I know. He's just building the wall.
He can see whatever he wants. Like,
Bran, we'll get it on the record. I think Bran's the Night King. Just want to throw it out there.
I'm going to get it on the record. Bran's not the Night King. Just putting it out there now.
Okay, perfect. We can go back to that. That's a discussion for another time.
But back to the end of the episode, what we're talking about.
I think you think we're going to be talking about something crazy that happened down south.
It's just everything that you show us in the trailer. I think Yara's gonna die, and that's gonna be executed, be murdered, and that's kind of gonna be Cersei's statement, and that is gonna set Theon off, but not anyone else really.
Yeah, get this guy out of here.
Yeah. So like,
I love these long-winded predictions we're giving. They could just be so off.
Probably so off. We should have just watched a leak or something. Nah. I don't know, man, but I'm looking forward to the episode. I think it's gonna be the best one, to date in the series.
Okay,
it's a finale. The finale last season finale was so strong,
bonkers, man.
And I think that this one is gonna be even stronger based on how the season is going. You know, every episode keeps raising
getting
the bar.
Better. Yeah, I think we're getting a setup episode. I think we're getting not a snoozer, but I think the big satisfaction they give to the fans will be the Littlefinger death. I think that's gonna be huge. For the fan playing on the heartstrings, I think Yara is cooked based on a Euron wild card. Nothing to lose. He feels like the odd man out because he's not at the big boy table. He wants to flex his muscle a little bit. I think they come away with everything's cool. Cersei makes a smart tactical decision. Let them go do their thing up north. I think we're going to get some sort of White Walker advancement because they just haven't really advanced that much, and now we have 80 minutes to play with. I think, most importantly, I think we're just getting a heavy Bran episode worth flashbacks, and we're getting Rhaegal, we're getting Lyanna. I think we're getting that whole storyline. John can't find out his lineage, but if he could, he would. I just think it's going to be heavy Bran. So, and I think it's just going to be a total setup. Like, all right, we'll talk to you in 18 months when the series comes back.
That's going to be the worst. But,
we'll but no, this has been a lengthy pod here, 48 minutes. You want to shut it down here? Let's shut it down.
All right, let's shut it down.
You have anything else?
Make sure you rate, review, subscribe if you like the podcast on iTunes. We're also available on SoundCloud.
Absolutely. Thanks for following on Twitter. Thanks for another great season. We'll probably get emotional to the latter parts of the you're shaking your head now, but to the latter parts of the next pod with what could be a 2019 return, which would be terrible, but that's for another time and place. We'll talk to you guys and hear from you and react with you and recap with you Sunday night. After an 81-minute episode, right after Thrones.